Great. Well, today we are starting I'm going to call it a limited series. And limited series because it's just going to happen for 2 weeks. It's called Community of the Spirit. And I want to say this at the start, and then I'm just going to mention something for us as church. If you want to follow along with the notes that I make on YouVersion, then there'll be QR codes, three of them for you there on the screen. Or you can just go to your three dots on YouVersion, click events, and it should be there as well. But just before we get into the message, Easter is coming. And I have an Easter egg here. But last year, we kind of did this a little bit by stealth in the fact of we had 200 eggs donated from the church, which was incredible, in which we gave to like local schools and charities. And we want to be able to do that again this year. And so just want to mention we're collecting Easter eggs, and we need all of those donations by the 24th of March to allow time for distribution. And we're working on providing them again, maybe to kids who might not get an Easter egg at Easter, and to just be a blessing to our community. And so if you want any more information, connect to the info point in the foyer, and our Acts of Kindness team will be there who will be able to give you more information on that. Who wants this? It's going to a school, so you shouldn't have asked for it. There we go. There we go. There we go. Okay. You ready for God's word? Come on, I believe every time we open God's word, he can speak to us. And today, wherever you find yourself, whatever life looks like, today I believe if you'll open your heart to God's word, he'll speak to you. You might be here for the very first time today, and you might be thinking, oh, what is going off? Well, this is church, and I want to welcome you, but want to say that if you'll open your heart and ask God, God, would you speak to me today? I believe that God will speak to you today. And so, come on, let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that we get to gather in your presence. Speak to us right now in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of us know life can be breakthrough, then backlash? Breakthrough, then backlash. Breakthrough, then backlash. Like life can be seemingly going so good and then boom. And, you know, if you were typing that into your phone, it'd be capitals, all capitals. And when I want to make a point, I put a space in between them. So it'd be B. Space O, space O, space O. No, that's wrong. Space M. Boom. Something brings it down. It can feel like I've taken one step forward and two steps back. How many of us know that? Today we're looking at Community of the Spirit, and the book of the Acts is the story of the early church, and really that church being a community of the Spirit. And when I was reading, whenever I've read the book of Acts, and even reading it for this message today, I realized that that was the story of the church. It was breakthrough, then backlash. Breakthrough, then backlash. And I believe today that God could teach us something about being a community of the Spirit when we are in moments of breakthrough and when we're in moments of backlash. Because there are people here today, and you're sat on your row, and someone on your row might be in a moment of breakthrough. And we're praising God and we're rejoicing together that there are moments of breakthrough. But on your row again, there could be someone who's facing some backlash. And today we as a community of the Spirit get to experience and get to realize, how do we be a community of the Spirit when life is breakthrough, then backlash? Breakthrough, then backlash. Acts 5, if you want to turn there in your Bibles, is where we're going to look at today, and we're going to go through the story. But I'm just going to start by reading the first, verse 12 to 16, four verses for us today. And this is a moment, incredible moment of breakthrough. Look what happens. It's dynamic breakthrough. It says this: the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing them their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. What do we have here? We have the church. The community of the Spirit, the church, operating in dynamic breakthrough. We see it in this passage. We have evangelism. We have people turning their lives towards Jesus, getting saved. You have generosity. You have a church full of the Holy Spirit that Jesus said would come upon each and every single one of them. Jesus said this in Acts 1 and verse 8. He said, "You shall receive power." And I'm using that word dynamic for a reason, because that word power is dunamis, which means dynamite. It's dynamite power. And so there's this dynamic breakthrough, and it's dynamite power that he said, you shall receive dunamis. You shall receive this power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And what's the result of that? You shall be my witnesses. Both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, but also to the ends of the world. The church was all in. The church was all in. They were sharing. There was this, just imagine you were there. There'd be this charged atmosphere of faith. Like it would be like, I cannot miss this. I cannot not be around this. I want to be involved in this. Generosity and evangelism and people getting saved and people getting healed. And you see the power of the Holy Spirit that has lit that church, that early church, alive. There's breakthrough. It's so powerful. Breakthrough is happening. It's so prolific that people are getting healed by shadows. Hold on, because I don't know if you're like me, but when I read that, I go, you what? Shadows. Now, we know that it's not a shadow that heals, but the shadow was a touch point for people's faith. I'll give you an example. Jesus is going through a crowd, and there's a woman there who's had an issue for many, many years, and she believes by faith, if I just touch the hem of his coat, I'll be healed. Was it his coat that had the power? No, it was Jesus that had the power, but that was a touch point for her faith. It was a touch point for her faith. You know, they sold Jesus's clothes when he was on the cross and when he died on the cross. The person who got that coat didn't walk around going, touch my coat, you'll get healed. No, it was a touch point for faith. And so here in this moment, you've got this incredible atmosphere of faith, and then all of a sudden, boom, something comes to try to stop it. You get a moment of backlash. You have amazing breakthrough that is followed by backlash. Verse 17 and 18, it says this, then the high priest and all his associates who were members to the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. Have you ever been in that place where it's been breakthrough and then all of a sudden, boom, backlash comes? How do you respond? How do you respond in the moments of breakthrough and backlash? How do we respond as the community of the Spirit? How do we respond in moments of breakthrough and backlash? How would you have responded in this moment as a follower of Jesus? All of a sudden, everything's going so well and then I'm in jail. Everything's going so great, and then all of a sudden, it's not. Would the response been to gone into hiding? To go into hiding, to run away from it? Because I'm feeling trapped. I'm feeling like this is a dead end. I'm feeling like everyone's against me. Can you see what happens when we face backlash? We can end up in many of those responses. We can isolate ourselves. We can pull away from community. We can pull away from different things. But how many of us know that, yes, life can be breakthrough and backlash, and we can even be experiencing breakthrough and backlash at the same time? We can be experiencing it at the same time. You can be in both camps. A certain area of your life can be breakthrough, but another area of your life, you can feel like it's backlash after backlash after backlash. And I want you today to, even the areas that you feel like there's backlash, I want to encourage you to push into community. To push into what God has got for you. To push into it. I want to say it like this. The enemy loves to target the areas of our lives that bring about breakthrough. The enemy would love to target the area of our lives that bring about breakthrough. And it's the very people in this story, it's the very people who I think should be the most excited about what is happening. These are the religious leaders. They have spoken about Jesus' coming. They've heard the prophecies. They know the Bible or the Torah as it was known then. They know it off by heart. They know what's going to happen. And yet these are the very people who are going to bring about the backlash. Why? Because they're jealous. It said it. I'm sure it said it. They were filled with jealousy. They're bringing backlash. Why? Because they're jealous. Because they're jealous. And so in the midst of backlash, many times we can feel alone. We can feel like giving up. We can stop pushing into and living the life that God has got for us. We walk away from community and friendship, and we walk away from the very things that actually brought about breakthroughs in our life. We stop doing it. We stop going to things because maybe life got busy, but it was the very thing that brought about the breakthrough in your life. It was the very thing that brought it about. And so I believe today with all of my heart, God has called us to be a community of the Spirit. To community today. God is building his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God is building his church, a community of the Spirit. Gordon Fee actually has a chapter in a book called A Community of the Spirit. And he says this, and we're going to take this as our example of what a community of the Spirit looks like. He says this: God is not simply saving diverse individuals and preparing them for heaven. Rather, he is creating a people for his name among whom God can dwell and who in their life together will reproduce God's life and character. That ending there, let me put it in my words today. As a community of the Spirit, we get to reveal and reproduce God's life and character to a world who need to know Jesus. That we get to do that. That's the community of the Spirit. That we reproduce and reveal. I was remixing that bit there. We reveal God's life and character. That's the calling to us, calling for us, the church, to be image bearers. Icon church. Just drop the E off in the Greek. Why? Because what does that mean? It means we are image bearers. We are made in God's image. That we are that to show the world who God is, who God truly is, to break filters and perceptions of who God is in their mind. You know, I have many conversations with lots of my friends, and I talk about them a lot, you know, here on stage, because I realize there are filters and perceptions of what church is like. One of the first times that I experienced this in a moment, which was a real powerful moment, was in a football dressing room. And I know there's new people here today, so I just want to let you know I played football with Jamie Vardy. That was for you, Richard and Esther. And I was playing for Matlock Town, local team, and I'm talking to a guy, and he's asking me about church. And at that moment, I was playing drums in church, and so I told him I played drums in church, and he just couldn't believe there were drums in church. And he says, "What does the organ lady think about the drums in church?" And I said, "She doesn't have a clue." I said, "No, we have an electric guitar as well." He went, "Shut up." And I said, "No," and I'm talking to him about this anyway. Another conversation's happening in the dressing room around the music that's being played. And one of the guys is like, some of the guys are just slating the music. There's about 20 guys in the dressing room slating the music. Mid-conversation with this guy, he pipes up and says, "Nathan will play us some of his Come By Our music." And I said, in that moment, like, fear. Anxiousness came upon me, and it was kind of like, how am I going to respond? So I responded with, "I haven't got that one on my phone at this moment, but I've got other songs if you want to listen to them." And I'm like, "Where did that come from?" You know when you say something and you're like, can I, can I pull it back? There was like a boldness. So anyway, I play this song, and it's a few years ago now. It was Break Free by Hillsong United, and a great song, and the whole dressing room went silent. And I'm thinking, oh no. Now, football environments are known for their banter. I'm thinking, I'm going to get absolutely ripped to shreds here. Mad. Until one guy pipes up and says, pretty good this, like the stuff I listen to. I was like, winner. Anyway, we go out for the game. No one says anything. We win the game. We come back in. We need to play that song before every game. God is on our side. Footballers are so superstitious. But you know what? I believe we can reveal God's life and reproduce God's life and character, break some of the perceptions of what this is like, of who Jesus is, to reveal Jesus to a broken world, broken and lost world. You see, the power's not just in, this early church, but it's given to each and every single one of us. We see the moment that the church is born. It's known as the day of Pentecost. And there's a verse, Acts 2 and verse 3, that tells us that this tongues of fire separated upon each and every single one of them. And you get this incredible picture of fire, but this is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Fire is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And you see it in the Old Testament that actually there was fire in the temple, but it was confined to one place. It was confined to one area. And so when the church is built, all of a sudden, it wasn't just confined to a building or a place. It was given to a community, to each and every single one of us. That as we gather together on a Sunday, we're all bringing our tongues of fire. We're all bringing the Holy Spirit. We're all bringing our faith. But as we go from here, we go with the Holy Spirit, knowing that God is with us, knowing that He is for us, and it's separated upon us. As reading recently about World War II, and one of the airplanes that was key for World War II was the Spitfire. Got an image of it here, and the Spitfire. And I was reading about the production of the Spitfire. Originally, it was made in big factories in Southampton. And the guy who oversaw all of the production of airplanes and the building of the Spitfire, he took production and he spread it out all across the UK. Why? Because he knew the enemy would target the areas of breakthrough. And so where did it go? It went into people's homes. They were building parts for Spitfires in people's homes. Like your spare bedroom was being used to build hotels. Were being used. You had strawberry pickers, like their barns, they were being used. All sorts of buildings, everything. And so when the enemy did target this Spitfire production in Southampton, it didn't stop it moving forward. Oh, what a picture of the church, that no matter what comes against us, nothing can stop us. No matter what comes against us, nothing can stop us moving forward. And as a community of the Spirit, in the moments of breakthrough, we reproduce and reveal God's life and character. As a community of the Spirit, in the moments of backlash, we reproduce and reveal God's life and character. Let me read that quote again from Gordon Fee. It says this: God is not simply saving diverse individuals and preparing them for heaven. Rather, He is creating a people for His name, among whom God can dwell, and who in their life together will reproduce God's life and character. So as we dive and go further into this story in Acts 5, what does it reveal? What does it look like in the moments of breakthrough and backlash? What does it look like as a community of the Spirit? What is our calling? What does it look like to live as this community? Well, firstly, is this: as a community of the Spirit, a community of the Spirit reveals new life. Acts 5, 19 to 21. It says this. This is the angel comes. They're in jail. And it says this: but during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. They go back to the very place they were when they got arrested to go and speak about this new life. They go back to the very place where they received a moment of backlash to bring about breakthrough in other people's lives. And as a community of the Spirit, we have a calling to reveal this new life that Jesus has given each and every one of us. It's incredible to realize that they were delivered by an angel. There's like this divine moment that an angel comes, but it wasn't only meant to free them from prison. It was meant to encourage them as well and encourage us, that the apostles knew that God could deliver them from backlash at any time, anywhere, anywhere they were placed, anytime God could deliver them from it. I heard someone say this once, Jesus either calms the storm or he calms the people in the storm. And so as they are freed from prison, they are commissioned. Go and bring this new life, this message. Reveal this message of new life for all people. Says it there in verse 20. Go and tell the people the full message of this new life. It's a moment where they go, I'm going to hold my ground. I'm going to stand firm on this message. No matter the backlash, I can actually bring this message of new life in Jesus. And what they weren't just doing, they weren't just speaking about this life. They were speaking about a new life. A new life in Jesus. A new life that we can receive today, a new life that you can receive today, a specific gift of grace from God that Jesus brings new life. John 6 and verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus answers and says this, I am the way, the truth, and the... You're still awake. No one comes to the Father except through me. This was the life that Jesus has for each and every one of us, that he is that way. He is that way. He is that new life for us. And today we may get our focus misaligned in life, and our focus gets shifted onto our very problems and onto our life. But I want to say, fix your focus on Jesus, who is the life for all of us. He is the bread of life. He is the life for each and every one of us. I love this quote by St. Frenius, and I hope I said that right. The glory of God is a man fully alive. The glory of God is a man fully alive. The glory of God, let me make it real personal. The glory of God is you, fully alive in Jesus. And that life is found in Jesus. We can go searching from place to place, everywhere, here, there, and everywhere. But I want to tell you that that new life, that alive life, is found in Jesus for each and every one of us today. John 1 and verse 4 talks about Jesus, says this, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And so no matter today, as a community of the Spirit, we get to reveal that new life. Every time we gather, people will come into our midst. Maybe you're here today and it's your first time. I'm hoping you're realizing there's a new life for you today. We get to reveal that. As you go into your workplace tomorrow, you get to reveal there's new life in Jesus. You get to exemplify. There can be moments of backlash, but I'm putting my hope and trust in Jesus, who has new life for me. That no matter the backlash, how hostile, how oppressive our surroundings, there's a call to bring that message of life to all people, to share that life by our life and word. And it contrasts the work of jealousy that we see in the religious leaders. Jealousy becomes all about me. What were they jealous about? They were jealous because it wasn't them who were doing it. They were jealous because it wasn't them who were doing it. But the Spirit enables us, his community, even in the midst of backlash, even in the moments of breakthrough, to show the life that Jesus has for us. And that new life is in Jesus. And today, there's a new life for you in Jesus. today there's a new life for you in Jesus. As a community of the Spirit, we reveal new life. The second thing, as a community of the Spirit, obeys God. It obeys God. It goes on. I'm going to read a few verses here to kind of skip through the story a bit. But from verse 21, at daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. I find this bit funny. But on arriving to the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported. We found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. On hearing this report, this is what I find funny. On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priest were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. I bet they were wondering what would come of this. Then someone came and said, look, the men you put in jail... I've lost my place. Put in jail, are standing in the temple courts teaching the people. At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and you are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than man. We must obey God rather than man. I don't know if you saw it in those first seven verses. I kind of skipped on to a next verse, and sorry, team. But the religious leaders are guilt-ridden. They're fearful. The religious leader, that you see it because they blurt out that you're determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Who are they talking about? They're talking about Jesus, because they're proclaiming that that they sent him to the cross. The truth is that they were the ones who said, crucify him. They were the ones who said, let his blood be on us and our children. They were the ones who do this. And so the apostles respond. How do they respond to their threats? They respond with a boldness, and a boldness that comes from obeying God. A boldness that comes from obeying God. I read verse 29. I'm going to read verses 30 to 32. It says, the God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. Can you see the boldness? We must obey God. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. There's a boldness, there's a courage, there's a conviction, even in the midst of backlash. And where did that come from? Where does that come from? It comes from where their focus was. It comes from who is their example. Jesus is their example. It was Jesus. They were seeing God's life and character on full display right in front of them. That Jesus was their example, and they were witnesses to this. And through the Holy Spirit, they got that boldness. They got it all. I want to highlight, because it tells us that it was Peter and the other apostles. But when... if you've been around church, you'll know that Peter is the one who denies Jesus three times. He denies Jesus. Actually, some people say he denied him to like a young girl as he was questioned in those denials. He was denied Jesus three times. Where does that boldness come from? Well, firstly, I want to say it comes from the place of him not being alone. He's with others. Says Jesus and the other apostles. If we go back to the early church, the first message of the church that is preached, Peter gets up and it says, Peter stood up with the other apostles. There's some power in community that we get to do this together. There's power in a community when we actually say, no, we're going to obey God rather than man. We're going to have a boldness about this. There's power in us doing this together. The second thing that I realize about Peter is that in this moment, he's full of the Holy Spirit. He's full of the Holy Spirit, that he has this Holy Spirit upon his life, and he is completely convinced of what Jesus has done for him and done for every single person. I tell you, a boldness and courage can come upon your life, even in the moments of backlash, even in the moments of feeling fearful and anxious. Why? Because I am convinced that Jesus is the one who brings new life to my life. I'm convinced what Jesus has for my life. And that witnessing power of the Holy Spirit is released through obedience to Jesus. I'm praying that you, with a boldness, with a courage, would give and would live for the name of Jesus. A boldness that comes about obeying God and a passion for people's lives. I'm praying today that we would be energized today, and we will never, I'm going to declare it over Icon Church, we will never stop proclaiming the good news of Jesus and his life for all people. That's who we are, a community of the Spirit. And I'm convinced of Jesus today. I'm convinced we took communion today in our service. I'm convinced that he died and he rose again for me. I'm convinced today. I'm not convinced in a higher power or a source or an energy. No, I'm convinced in the person of Jesus who died to bring forgiveness to each and every single one of us, to bring a new life to a world who are broken and lost. You see, my prayer is that people will come into Icon Church, and many people will walk into the door and they will be feeling backlash. It will feel like there's no hope. They will feel isolated. They'll feel alone. But as they come to the doors, I'm declaring that as they walk into this church, they would experience hope. They would experience community. They would experience life. They would experience everything that Jesus has for them. And so as a community of the Spirit, we obey God. The last thing, as a community of the Spirit or a community of the Spirit, rejoices. Rejoices. Carry on in the story of verse 33. When they heard this, they were furious. This is the religious leaders, and they wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named that guy, Gamaliel, a teacher of the law who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed them, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, that guy, Theudas, appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed. All his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. And they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Let's just stop there a minute. That word flogged, I don't know if it's the same in the version that's on the screen, but it means beaten. They were beaten. They were whipped. They're facing backlash. They've been put in prison, then they've come out, they've done it, and then there's more backlash. They're whipped and they're beaten. And so what's their response? Verse 41, sorry. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. That's where it gets me. They left rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. They rejoiced because of the backlash. They rejoiced because of the beating. They rejoiced what the world would count as shame. They rejoiced at because it was for the name of Jesus. Nathan said it in his communion moment, what the world thinks is what God uses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, that actually he can use the foolish things, the very things that we think are counted as shame, God can use. Let me tell you today, you might have a weakness in your life. God can use it in his strength to bring about a movement of his Spirit in people's lives, to bring about new life. And as we gather together, No matter what we may be facing, we have an opportunity to rejoice. Rejoice in the goodness of God. Rejoice, have a conviction that no matter what, I'm going to worship God. No matter what, I'm going to praise Him. No matter what, I'm going to rejoice at His name. Because who knows, breakthrough is on the way. Breakthrough is on the way. There's a great example, I haven't got time to get into it, but Paul and Silas are in prison. They're put into the inner cell. It's the worst place they could be put. They're naked and they're in this inner cell. It's a moment of real backlash. So what do? They sing. They sing. And oh, in a moment, breakthrough comes. In a moment, breakthrough comes. See, I'm not saying we have to be perfect and faultlessly consistent in our faith and walk, but we are expected to be joyful. We're also expected to persevere. James 1, verses 2 and 3, he says it like this: consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And I love it because verse 42 tells us that as a community of the Spirit, day after day, they kept gathering together. Day after day, they'd go out to connect group, to connect group, to connect group. And they never stopped preaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. That He is the Messiah. So I want to leave you with something practical on this today. Because I know in our world we can live in an ungrateful attitude. We can live in an ungrateful attitude, but I think we have an opportunity to show God's life and character to a world, to reveal it and to reproduce it to our world. And so it's a simple practice of gratitude. And here it is: gratitude I shows my love for. You can put your family in there, put your kids in there. I have to do that one. Put your job in there. I know, I just got real. Put your church in there, put your connect group in there. It's a moment of gratitude. They rejoiced. Why? Because they were counted worthy to suffer in the name of Jesus. Gratitude protects my perspective, where I'm fixing my focus, and gratitude will focus your future. It's not a denying of what's happening, it's a fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. It's a conviction of His life, and as a community of the Spirit, we rejoice. Why? Because Jesus is our example of that. Because for the joy set before Him, just listen to that, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. What was that joy? What was that joy? It was you. You were that joy, that He was willing to go to the cross so that you could have new life today. You were that joy. And so today I want to give you an opportunity to receive that new life into your life. Today, to know that Jesus is for you, that He loves you, that He has great plans for you. And today to know that today you can receive new life. So with every head bowed and every eye closed today, that is you. You're saying, Nathan, I need to receive new life. Whether for the first time you're saying yes to Jesus, or as a recommitment to your faith in Jesus, saying, I need to get this right. I need to receive new life. Would you shoot your hand up in the air and say, yes, that's me, Nathan. I need to receive new life. Right now, just shoot your hand up in the air. You're saying, I need to receive it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amazing. Amazing. So good. Well, come on, church. Let's celebrate with all those making that decision across our country. And let's stand to our feet today. We're going to pray a prayer all together. And then we're just going to do something real practical afterwards. It's going to take about 30 seconds. Is that all right? Come on, let's pray this with faith after three. One, two, three. Jesus, I come to you today and confess that I need you. Please come into my life and forgive me of all my sins. Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for giving me a brand new start. Today, I open my life to you. Amen. Now, I know we're British and we love a golf clap, as I like to call it. But I just felt like ending the message by rejoicing, by giving God praise. Because the breakthrough that you could be looking for could be on the other side of this praise moment. It could be. But more than that, this praise fixes my focus on Jesus. And as a community of the Spirit, we get to reveal and reproduce God's life and character. And to do that, I'm going to have to fix my focus on Jesus. And so in a moment, I'm going to ask us to get out of our British comfort zone and get out of our comfort zone and give God a shout of praise for 30 seconds to give him all the praise that he deserves because of the new life that we have received, that actually we know that he is our Savior, that he is for us, that he has great things in store for us. So you ready, church? Come on, after three. One, two, three. Come on.